Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Loving Patriots to this 29th episode of 2018 on this hazy, yellowy day in the American Redoubt with forest fires burning all over the place. We're going to talk about that in the news and commentary, and then we're going to talk about in the American Redoubt section of the news in segment two, we're going to talk about wildfire preparedness, what you can do, what you should do. And also I'm going to give you some resources and some stories that we can learn from other people's experiences as well. So we got that to look forward to. I hope you guys had a blessed week and that you guys are faring well. It is really literally less than a mile visibility in some places. And folks are talking about their eyes stinging and difficulty breathing for some folks. I don't mind it. I think it's different. It's kind of cool in a way. It's that, almost, dystopian type of, just kind of a strange environment. This haze. It's almost like when it gets dark early, you know, coming up around, December and the holidays, when it gets dark at 3:15 in the afternoon. I don't know. It just kind of mixes things up. It doesn't last forever, but, it is definitely a lot more so than I remember growing up. And so many people have said the same thing. I don't remember. I remember when they used to burn the fields and it would fill the smoke with air, the air with smoke for, you know, a few days right around during football season, right when you're doing double days before the school season starts up, and made it a little bit difficult to breathe, but it was kind of cool. It kind of takes me back to that right before hunting season, football season, school's about ready to start up, the end of the summer, it's hot, it's a hazy, and it's just something about it that I've always just really liked, maybe because of that association with my childhood. But I don't remember it ever being this smoky from wildfires as we've seen in the last few years. And I really think that it has everything to do with these radical environmental policies. We don't have the lumber mills we used to have. We don't have the logging that we used to have and the fuels that are just building up year after year. So anyway, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We've got some, actually, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out, including the audio books, and Glenn Tate, as well as Shelby Gallagher, will be at the Preparedness Expo next month. And I will be there as well. I look forward to seeing them. I look forward to seeing you all who are able to make it. Shake your hands. But we've got this fire data. August 19th, nationally, there are 110 large fires burning over 1.9 million acres. So 2 million acres, essentially. 6 new large fires were reported in Idaho, Nevada, and Oregon. 8 large fires were contained, including the Fruguso fire in California. So there's a ridge of high pressure coming in. They're expecting that to remain strong, and we've received fire weather warnings. And what that means is winds coming out of the south, which means hotter and drier winds. That's going to be mostly hitting the inland Pacific Northwest or the inland west, not making things much better for firefighting. So we've got 6 new fires. Total fires burning now is 110 in Alaska, you know, outside the mainland. But we've got Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho with 13, Montana with 16 fires. Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon with 13 fires. Texas has one. Utah, Washington has 10. And Wyoming has one. So I was looking at the statistics, the year to date, and so far, year to date, up to August 19th of 2018, they're comparing all these years going back 10 years. So far, we have less on fire by this date than we did last year. Right now, we're at 5.898. Last year, it was 6.419 million acres. So, just about what? 600,000 acres more burning last year at this time. But the year before that, it was only 4 million. And then in 2015, that's when it really jumped up. 7.2 million acres on fire in 2015. But if you take this all the way back to 2008, 10 years ago, it was 4.3 million. So what, almost 50% more than we had 10 years ago. And it fluctuates. We have wetter years than others. But I do not ever recall having this much smoke and this many fires burning, growing up in the American Redoubt than I have seen in just recent years, in this most recent decade. We've lost, 150 mils just in the Inland Pacific Northwest area. I'm going to make that a project and look at that. But I just read a report, and so I didn't think to grab the numbers. But it blew my mind how many mills are shut down. The timber industry is decimated, and all of these trains that are coming into the American Redoubt from Canada are loaded with Canadian timber. That's something that President Trump says he's going to address. But I have been spending a lot of time in mountainous areas, including areas where that have been previously burned, still standing dead trees because of forest fires that have gone through. Harvest it. Why in the world is that not being harvested? Anyway, if I were king, we'd be back to logging and mining and still being good stewards of the land. Well, therap.com is running an article here about President Trump. Just yesterday, issued a tweet storm following the removal of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and his InfoWars shows from most major social media platforms earlier this month. Social media, he says, this is Trump speaking, President Trump, is totally discriminating against Republican/conservative voices, the president wrote in the first of several tweets, speaking loudly and clearly for the Trump administration. We won't let that happen. Good. I don't know how they're going to get around it. These sneaky buggers, but good. They should go after them. Especially somebody like InfoWars, and these people that pay for these services to upgrade the services, they bury them. But it's not just Alex Jones and not just InfoWars, but all of these conservative platforms over and over. We see this happening. We're looking for some alternatives. We've identified some. Going to kind of in beta testing right now to see how well they're going to work out. And I think then we're going to start promoting these. So stay tuned for that. From One News Now, speaking of Canada, they're exporting timber. They're also trying to export their liberalism. And as an example, they're caving. Well, not as an example of exporting their liberalism, but see how Canada's falling. This article here, Christian University in Canada caves and drops their moral code. We've had this discussion. I've talked about this in the news in the past, where they're trying to get Christian universities in the United States to lower their moral codes and standards, you know, so they don't trigger some of these millennials now. But a Christian university in Canada caved to the pressure of a number of law societies and removed its pledge committing students to biblical moral conduct. This is a Christian university, so that its graduating students can be accredited in the nation's legal system. You get this? That's how they're doing it. Oh, you can have the curriculum you want. No problem. You can run your Christian college however you want. However, after the tens of thousands of dollars that each student will have spent getting through your school, they won't be accredited. Unless, of course, you drop this biblical standards in your Christian university. Sickening. So Trinity Western University in the southwestern Canadian province of British Columbia, very bordering the American Redoubt, want to do a step. Hey, maybe they want to be part of the American Redoubt one day too. I mean, the world is changing. Whether we want it to or not, who knows? It could provide some opportunities. Save our fellow patriots up there from this agenda. But this Trinity Western University wanted to establish a law school at the Christian Institution's facility, but several provincial law societies refused to recognize their graduating attorneys. Unbelievable. Biblically, we're not to bow to anyone when it comes to yielding our Christian stand. And like in the days of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood, McVetti pointed out from Scripture. That's Dr. Charles McVetti of the Canada Christian College. He said that they should not have caved in. So there are Christian patriots still standing and saying the right thing, but they caved. They caved. Sad. So sad. Okay, we're going to come back with the American Redoubt segment. Segment two coming up in just a moment. And also, if you guys haven't checked out socialismtoday.info, really great information over there from the senior editor of the Gem State Patriot. He put that website together chock full of articles and documentation showing the harmful effects of socialism and showing that it really is spreading today. And we need to be informed. Socialismtoday.info to learn more about the dangers to capitalism and our free Western culture. All right, stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
And lastly, obligation number 8. Dedicate a part of your everyday life to the bringing of these requirements of American citizenship to the attention of fellow students, fellow workers, neighbors, and friends.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. Welcome back, Patriots. This is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving Patriots, Patriots all across the board. Coming here to the American Redoubt, looking specifically for the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is where you want to go to have some folks help you find the property that's right for you. All right, so I call this the American Redoubt segment. First of all, the events coming up, I wanted to remind you guys, the Inland Northwest Freedom Fest is going to be coming up here, and that is September 14th, Friday, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and then Saturday, most all days, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., September 15th, and we will be there live streaming and broadcasting and conducting interviews, and that will be happening at that place, the Giant Red Barn in Cocalala, Idaho. If you're northbound, headed towards Sandpoint, you'll see it there on the left, and it's called Barn Again, so right there on U.S. Highway 95. Reba McEntire's sister, Susie McEntire, will be performing that Friday night. And David Barton will be speaking Saturday along with several other speakers, pastors. This is definitely a Christian Patriot event. Looking very much forward to meeting David Barton. I'll see if I can have him sign my my founder's Bible. Very excited. But go to InlandNWFreedomFest.com or just click on the banner that we're going to have on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. Now, September 22nd through the 23rd, 22nd and the 23rd, the following weekend is Sandpoint, Idaho. We're working our way northward there. We started this this event on the 14th is in Kokalala, but another 20 minutes north. And you're going to be in Sandpoint, the Bonner County Fairgrounds, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 2 days of preparedness workshops, presentations, and exhibits. That's where you're going to be able to meet the authors, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. And you'll be able to meet me. I will be teaching some communications classes, and there's some great instructors putting on all kinds of courses from self-defense to self-reliance, medical, communications, just lots of really good stuff. And also, if you guys haven't done so, go to redoubtnews.com and click on their events tab. There is an ice cream social coming up with Leslie Duncan, a friend of ours down in Kootenai County. She just won in the primaries and is going to be pretty much sailing her way through. But she's got an ice cream social on 6 p.m. on August 22nd. So you guys get a chance to meet her. That is a great patriot as well. They've got some other events going on in Helena, Montana, and also in, September 8th, the Idaho Rally for the Second Amendment. That's going to be a big one. I believe that's the one that's, I'm pretty sure this is the one that's going to be taking place in Boise. I'll have to just confirm that, but that one's coming up as well. Okay, now let's talk about the wildfires. There's a lot of wildfires coming up. I've you know, kind of in the middle of my own chaos right now. So I'm mobile with a lot of my stuff. I'm moving several things. I'm shifting things around. I have two or three different locations where I'm operating out of until things settle down here in the next 4 to 6 weeks. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we'll be able to settle into a more permanent setup, which is being kind of worked on right now. So I have a lot of my stuff is portable. So I'm starting to think, man, if this wildfire, somebody flips a cigarette out on the side of the highway, you could have a fire coming up your mountainside before you can wake up 3 o'clock in the morning and there's fire. And what do you do? What do you grab? How do you prepare for this? We've been in wildfire situations before. We've deployed during wildfires. In 2015 is a record-breaking year, as far as I know, and we were able to actually provide emergency communications. It was great. It was a great experience, very rewarding. We hope those services won't be needed again, but we stand ready just in case. Well, we can learn from other people's experiences. I want to encourage you to go to survivalblog.com. Just go to survivalblog.com and type in the search. Or in the upper right-hand corner, just type in wildfire. You're going to see a bunch of videos, articles that the folks have written in about their own personal experiences, and then also kind of more very thoughtful articles about what you can do to prepare. But this is really interesting. This one article that was posted, when was this? This was back in 2012 in April. And it was a letter about evacuating quickly to escape wildfires. And what this article does, this letter, he contrasts two different stories. One headline, a couple killed in a wildfire was packed and ready to leave. Apparently, they were preppers. Their vehicle was pointed toward their escape route. Something happened and they didn't make it out of there. Not sure why. But there was another family who they lived, but the headline is Family's Terrifying Escape from Wildfire Caught on Video. So one family made it, one didn't. The one who didn't seem to be kind of a prepper-minded type of a couple. Now, were they sitting there all prepared, waiting for the official government order to evacuate, and it was too late? We have to be able to assess and discern on our own. Your life belongs to you, and your survival and your making it out of these situations, you own it. So, I mean, we've reiterated this. I know survival blog readers have heard this for a long time. You have to take ownership of your own resiliency and your own emergency plans for you and your family. We also know in real world situations that government resources get extremely spread thin, and they can't provide services to everyone and ample warning and rescue and everything else. There's some articles here. One that I found is a really good one outside of Survival Blog as well, cheaperthandirt.com. Of course, we're all familiar with Cheaper Than Dirt. Love their stuff. Love their flyers and catalogs. But there's an article here, Approaching Wildfire Preparedness. So it says, if a wildfire is threatening your area, law enforcement might mandate evacuations. The earlier you can evacuate, the better. Last minute evacuations can be deadly. Well, refer to the previous story that I just covered. Downed trees may block your path, or smoke might be so heavy you cannot get out. Have your routes pre-planned beforehand. And so this goes into this article about your go bag, what you should have: water, a list of important contacts, long sleeve shirts and long pants in cotton or wool. Now, I've been involved in wildfires. One in particular I was involved in where in the military, another platoon, we were demolitioning trees with C4. So we were practicing cutting charges on trees. And this was on public land. And it was very dry. And we started a couple small fires, and we put them out. So the platoon sergeant, I was a squad leader at the time, platoon sergeant says, hey, run over there to 2nd platoon and borrow some water from them so we can just make sure this is completely out. So Joe Snuffy jumps in the Humvee, takes off, and comes tearing back into our area about 5 to 7 minutes later. He said, 2nd platoon's gone, and the whole area is on fire. So we run over there, and it was up into the canopy, and the wind was blowing, and it came right over the top of us, and we're running. Now, we ended up cutting trees. One thing that none of these articles cover are chainsaws. I'm looking, I haven't seen it, and there's even one article right here that I just read to you. Trees may be down. Plan your route. Okay, I'll plan my route to be the one that doesn't have any trees falling across it. That's the route I'm going to pick, because trees could be down, so I'm going to pick my route to be the one that doesn't have trees. Well, no, you need to have chainsaws. You have to have chainsaws. It's got to be part of your bug out plan. So we started dropping trees and creating a fire line, where a couple of guys jumped in a Humvee and they ran up to a farm, and they used their phone. This was before cell phones. Used their phone to call Bureau of Land Management or other, Forest Service. Basically call in the big boys. So they did. They came in, and we fought that fire. As far as what tipped this off, me talking about this little side rant, long sleeve shirts and long pants in cotton or wool. Cotton likes to burn. Now, I recommend canvas, like Carhartts. Even in the summertime, have a pair of Carhartts with you, because we were getting singed and burned continuously by just the embers that are in the air. You don't think about it. And we're all wearing our gas masks, M17A2, and just so we could breathe. And we had our K-pots on, our Kevlar helmets, and just long sleeve shirts. and it was burning our uniforms and it was burning our exposed skin. And it felt like somebody was continuously following you around with cigarettes, flicking ashes on your neck and on your clothes, and these little singe burn marks, burn holes in our summer weight BDUs. So definitely, you know what? And it might be a good idea, too, to actually get some used surplus firefighting clothing to cover yourself up with. Because it's very distracting when somebody's running around with you, burning you with cigarettes all over your body. That's just extremely distracting and irritating. And that's the sensation that you have. So I thought I would share that with you. But during wildfires, lots of stuff here, lots of really good information. I'm going to post these links so you guys can read up on these yourselves. But I just want to read from this one article here. During wildfire readiness, there are steps to take if you stay and defend your home, which many of you have resolved to do, or you think that might be the right thing to do. And it might be. Many people have saved their homes because they have adequate fire break and a pond that they could retreat to, and the grass is cut down and it's back, and if it's safe to do so. It says, do not evacuate if emergency personnel or the police tell you to stay. Number one, fill every possible container with water. This includes all sinks, bathtubs, buckets, and other water containers. I can vouch for this. Oftentimes, power goes out. You lose electricity, which means you usually lose your ability to pump water. You lose water. The sink is dry. No water. So have water stored up. Back your car into the garage so you can leave quickly. Have a full tank of gas and your bug out bag already in the car. Shut the garage door. Wet down the roof, yard, deck, patio, garage, any wooden storage sheds, and all vegetation. Close all doors, windows, blinds, and curtains, but leave all the windows and doors unlocked for firefighters to have easy access. That's debatable. That's when looters come. Also, we saw this in Konkanoli in the wildfires in central Washington, how many looters came through from house to house. Remove thin, flimsy, highly flammable window coverings. Move all flammable materials, including furniture, to the middle of every room. Turn off natural gas at the main. Open the fireplace damper and close the screen. Turn on the lights. That's so firefighters can peer into your windows to make sure that, well, they can see that nobody's in there. Bring outside flammable materials such as the grill and patio furniture inside. If you have patio furniture safe to submerge, throw it in a pool or pond. Right on. Okay, keep the road clear leading up to your house for fire truck access. Put a ladder on the side of the house. Smart. Go to an interior room away from windows. Pre-designate this room as your safe room and stock accordingly with water, non-perishable food, essential medications, flashlight, axe, gloves, shovel, and so on and so forth. So there's a few articles that I'm going to link and put into the highlights and resources posting. So it'll be helpful for you should you need it if you live in a fire-prone area. And many of you do. You live especially in the West and especially right now in the American Redoubt. Thanks, environmental wackos, for creating all this abundant fuel that has our forests on fire. You know, this is also an Al-Qaeda / ISIS / essentially a devout Muslim tactic to carry out against the West, is starting wildfires intentionally. I would like to see a report on the cause or what their investigation has led them to on the cause of these fires. They're not all lightning. I tell you that. We have not had dry lightning come through many of these places. It could be somebody with a cigarette thrown out a window. It could be careless campers leaving without putting the fire out all the way. But this sure doesn't seem like the days of old when we had this many fires burning. I just don't remember it. So it's pretty bad. Okay, guys, we'll be back with segment three coming up, and we're going to talk about Christian persecution, and we're also going to talk about South Africa. Things are heating up over there. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name, too. Stick around.
I will also ask the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Podcasts are equal.
Welcome back. We are here with segment three. Segment three brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. They are going to be at the Inland Northwest Preparedness Expo. Also, you get a chance to meet them. They have designs to keep you safe and help you thrive and help you design the maximum use of your property for sustainability, for defense, for food preparedness, food preparation, all across the board for, strategically designing your landscape of your property. And also, if you've got some property that you're looking at, you want another set of eyes to go over that with you with those things in mind, that's another service that they provide, strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you achieve a life of liberty. Now, we're going to do three segments tonight. I went over 2 hours last week, so I don't really like to do that just because it's after a while, it's just you're just ready for the show to be over with. So I know a lot of you guys listen to the commute, and you just, I'll listen to 15, 20 minutes every day on my commute and, keep them coming. But the main reason why is the fourth segment, which I want to cover. I mentioned yesterday on KTW that I'm going to be talking about this more, this attack on the marble community, the gray folks up there. The attack on Liberty State, maligning it and aligning it with anti-Jew, anti-Israel, white supremacist, all of this just is absolute lunacy. The testimony of this former senator, who was only a senator because he was appointed, he was never elected, he did not win the re-election, he's been out of shape, and he has just taken it upon himself to go after the marble community with a vengeance. And of course, Ozzy Knezovich, the sheriff in Spokane County, is just all too eager to just hear what his itching ears want to hear, to try to malign Representative Matt Shea and tie all this stuff to white supremacy. And it just is, it's lunacy. It's absolutely mind-boggling, and the patriot community is not standing for it. Major pushback coming. So I have some audio files that I want to go through, but I want to be very careful and strategic how I do it. I'm still pulling that stuff apart. I want to address certain key elements of it, and I'm not addressing certain key elements at this time for a specific reason. So that's why I decided I'm going to back off. I'm going to hold off on segment four. And I may just make that the show for this coming Saturday on KTW, because the folks in the Inland Empire, they're the Spokane, North Idaho, that area, especially Eastern Washington, need to hear this. So I want to be very careful about how I proceed with that. Okay, so we've got a lot of stuff going on in the news. A South African farm seizure, terrified white farmers plot to escape as this crackdown looms. A record number of white South African farmers have put their land up for sale amid fears that the ruling party is considering confiscating properties bigger than 25,000 acres. Of course, there's people that want to take all of it. period, just like in Zimbabwe. But the problem is that nobody is buying. It's very volatile over there. If you're a white farmer, then of course you're going to be you're going to have some trepidation about buying land when it's just going to be taken from you without compensation. And apparently there are not enough black landowners that are either able or willing to purchase this property. And, you know, one analyst in particular, Henrik Goldberg, said markets are sensitive to anything perceived to be Zimbabwe-fication on the land reform front. And that's exactly what it is. In neighboring Zimbabwe, if you guys remember in the 90s, violent land seizures authorized by Robert Mugabe, authorized by the government, set the country into a spiral of decline from which it has never recovered. And that's exactly what's going to happen in South Africa. Many of them are Christians. We've been following the Zuidlanders very closely. It is a Christian group of people, whites, that are calling for international, they're appealing for international intervention because of the threats made by the majority blacks, saying, we are going to kill you. You know, if this was the other way around, the other way, and there was a majority white saying, we're going to take all the private property from blacks and we're going to kill them, bring me my AK-47, the world would be just absolutely going ballistic, as they should. So it's no different. Now we've got this group of Christian whites that are in fear for their life. And Russia is looking to take many of these people in, including giving them land. There is one listener said, hey, John, I'll make a tactical prediction. Actually, this would be a strategic prediction. He says, due to the West's inability to overcome its moral relativism, he said, and come to the aid of Afrikaners, Russia will step in to help support the Zuidlanders. They are already offering asylum to them and giving them land to farm. The net result for Russia would be a whole new sphere of influence and the potential new access and control of cobalt, platinum, palladium, chromium, and uranium. I think that it would be a very potentially accurate prediction. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. But I want to talk about persecution against Christians, because this kind of leads right into it. I've supported Voice of the Martyrs for a long time, and I want to encourage you guys to as well. I've got my latest publication from them. Get it. I've got hanging up on the wall, Prisoners for Christ, those who have been persecuted, specifically imprisoned for their faith. And I have that up there as a reminder to pray over the men and women all around the world who have been imprisoned for smuggling Bibles or preaching when they're not supposed to, or and so on. So, but I have this latest, serving our persecuted family since 1967, The Voice of the Martyrs. And this one here is featured a different person. This is just a, you know, this is the photo issue, 2018 photo issue. So we got a photo of a person. And then this one's titled Enemy Villages. And, this is in Kenya. They live in a Muslim village. Her husband passed away, I guess, from some health issues, but the family's carrying on this church in occupied, hostile Muslim territory. Bless them. In the remote jungles in Vietnam, which of course is a, you know, communist, godless government, there's folks getting baptized there. War zones in the Nuba Mountains in Sudan. Just the risk that these people take is just unbelievable. Mountainous terrain. A woman smiles joyfully after receiving her new Bible on a sunny morning in Nepal. While Bibles are legal there, Bible distribution is opposed by Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and Marxist rebels. The small Christian population is under increasing pressure to reject Jesus as the country's leaders attempt to create a Hindu nation, which is what they're trying to do there, is make it the official language, which is just basically going to institutionalize the persecution of Christians. And then, of course, in India as well, these open-air churches under a tree, you know, outside the little village, increasingly coming under attack. Remember these people in your prayers. And then, of course, Yemen. Yemen is another one. So, but there's another ministry that I want to point you to. And the Voices of the Martyrs, their website, serving the persecuted church with practical and spiritual assistance and leading Christians in the free world into fellowship with persecuted believers. Making that connection. We've always been a strong supporter of that. Voice of Martyrs operates in 57 countries. They've distributed 1 million Bibles in just 2017. 1 million Bibles distributed in 2017. They have 155 projects undertaken by Voice of Martyrs Australia on average every year. 155 projects every year. And then over 10,000 life packs distributed by Voice of Martyrs just Australia in 2017. So really great. But there's a new one I want to point you to. And if you didn't hear it, Wall Builders did an interview with one of the workers from the Nazarene Fund, the NazareneFund.org. Check it out. Their mission is to liberate the captive, to free the enslaved, and to rescue, rebuild, and restore the lives of Christians and other persecuted religious and ethnic minorities. They have a mandate. During the first 2 years, the Nazarene Fund was given a mandate to assist persecuted Christians and religious minorities in the Middle East, specifically those affected by ISIS, the ISIS war. Today, ISIS has been routed in Iraq and Syria, and it is abandoning most of its territorial caliphate. They've helped to free more persecuted Christians than any other organization in the past 3 years during war zones. So we're strong supporters of the underground church and the persecuted church, but, you know, it's been around since, the 1600s, the underground church. Actually, longer than that. The underground church goes all the way back to the New Testament, if you remember. But there's something out of the Founder's Bible. This is my Founder's Bible. I want to hopefully have Dave Barton sign it here because there's a part about about the authors and the co-authors of this Founder's Bible under our signature historian, David Barton. I want to have him hopefully sign that portion there. It talks about his ministry and how he was led into, commissioning this. Very cool. But on page 179, there's a story talking about persecuted people. It goes back to the founding of our country, the beginning, the roots of our country. And there's a section here called How Then Shall We Live? The Mayflower Voyage and the Compact. Now, previously in the Bible, this is under Leviticus, but all through the Exodus, there are correlations between those who faced persecution and fled that persecution, and right along the side of the Israelites fleeing persecution and bondage. So, yeah, this is Jamestown planting the seeds of a great nation. Jamestown, I've been there. Very, very fascinating. I want to go back there. Okay, so by faith, the Pilgrim congregation had dared to separate from the Church of England and meet secretly in Scrooby. Scrooby is a small village, hamlet. Then they sold their farms and left their jobs and homes in the fall of 1607. This is laying the foundation for those guys coming to what would become America. This is 1607 now. See, America didn't start in 1776. The United States was born as a nation when we declared independence in 1776. But for 170 years prior to this, there was actually longer than that. But in 1607, they escaped to escape religious liberty in Holland, only to be caught not once but twice and imprisoned and lose just about everything. Miraculously, the men survived the storm of all storms in the North Sea, and the little congregation finally settled in Leiden, Holland, where they started their lives over again in 1609, learning new trades and a new language and culture. However, while they had found a place where they were free to nurture the seeds of their understanding of the principles of self-government, they had not left their love for England behind. They all had family, friends, and people who they loved who were still suffering under the bondage of the quote-unquote divine right tyrant, King James. With their own fires freshly ignited by being able to read the Word of God for themselves, they had a passion to see the gospel preached free from men's inventions. So they set up a printing press in William Brewster's home. That way they could get past censorship of the king and get the truth of the gospel to the people of England and Scotland from 1616 to 1619. William Brewster and his partner Thomas Brewer printed, published, and secretly smuggled quantities of over 15 books into England and Scotland in kegs. So this is fascinating. This goes on. I'm not going to go on anymore, but if you get a chance in your Founder's Bible, read this very fascinating history. Read the rest of it with me, and I'm going to finish reading this again this week because there's several pages of this, 6, 7, 8, 9 pages of American history woven in here in what's inserted in the book of Leviticus. So that religious liberty and freedom is right here. You can see the our Christian roots, the founding of our country, and right here in this Bible. It kind of brings it to life for the Israelites, I think, what they must have been experiencing, a whole new beginning ahead of them that became their history. And this is our history as a nation. So fascinating stuff. Yeah, hope that you guys like that. Thought that was a blessing. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys, you just have a blessed rest of the week. I'm going to be working on this false testimony that's being laid against good, God-fearing patriots. And we're going to shed the light of truth and truly inform, unlike what Sheriff Ozzie claimed what their show was supposed to be doing was informing, but it was really misinformation at best, if not slanderous. So, or libelous. Anyway, it was a lie, based on lies. Just a thin thread of truth woven through their discussion, and then they spun it into lies and completely misleading people. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to work on that this week. Also, hey, don't forget to support Works Holsters, and they make custom holsters made right here in the American Redoubt. And I'm having one made right now with the Liberty State logo on it. So I'm really looking, it'll be outside the waistband for my Glock 19. I'm looking forward to proudly wearing that. So, check them out. Works.com. That's WERKZ.com. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for the prayers and support and, just for being out there. I really appreciate all of you. And, I've really been blessed by your testimonies. Several pastors and several other folks who have been going through very similar circumstances as what I've been faced with in the last year. The one year anniversary today, in fact. And so, you know, I have a lot to look forward to in the next year. And one foot in front of the other, right? God is good. Okay, guys, be strong. Stay safe. Keep your powder dry, and we'll be in touch. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.